Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Fuel prices are up. We all know that. But what can we do about it? There was a picture of a lad at a Tesco in Manchester pouring vegetable oil into his fuel tank. But that doesn't seem to be like something we can all do, I don't think. But is it time to go electric? That is my question. It is. It isn't. I don't know anymore. So I have someone on the line who does know. Motoring journalist Michael Sheridan is on the line now to explain all. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for doing this, Michael. So, first off, why is vegetable oil into normal modern car engines not an option?
There was a craze a number of years ago to run any engine which would burn oil on alternative sources. So there's a few oil-burning cars, sunflower oil and other ex-chipper oil burning cars running around the country. And the funny thing is you'll smell them before you see them and they're just make you want to go to the chipper. They're really just a novelty. It's a way of just getting some attention maybe for a business or for whatever you're doing. It's not really a practical solution for anybody. We know that the internal combustion engine, so that's an engine as we know that burns fuel, petrol or diesel, its days are numbered, but the reality is those days are being pushed further and further out, and your diesel and petrol car is something that you're going to want to hang on to for a while longer, because the supply of new cars and the desire for everybody to go EV is putting huge demands on the manufacturers, and they simply can't meet demand, Jen.
Okay, so we have an issue here. So people who want to go electric, there's issues with supply.
Yeah. Wow. What we've had over since the dreaded Brexit and other things, we've had the perfect storm in terms of the new car market. We've had everything conspire to make people look at new cars and go, God, they're getting very expensive. I really shouldn't be buying one of these. We've had supply issues because the companies have all had to tighten their belts and make cleaner and greener cars. Otherwise, they face fines from Europe. So the manufacturers have been doing what they can to make their cars greener and cleaner for the customer. But it comes at a cost because they can't just magic fewer emissions out of an engine. It takes extra technology and that adds to the retail price. Between Brexit happening and the used imports that we used to rely on so heavily in Ireland, you know, the good used car that we get usually came from the UK, with taxes making that more and more, unappealing. The supply of cars and the availability of used cars has nearly dried up. So what we've seen in the last number of months, Jen, is the remarkable thing of new cars and used cars actually going up in price. So you bought your new car, you can expect a month or two later your dealer to be back on to you saying, actually, we'll give you the same money you paid for that car if you want to bring it back to us. So people are finding that the car that's in their driveway is actually going up as opposed to dropping like a stone as they used to do in the old days.
Oh, my God. OK. So a lot of people are really interested in going electric. So can we just talk about some more of the pros and the cons? You talked about supply there. Are they actually better for the environment? We got a text in saying they're actually not. But is that true? What's the story there?
I suppose it depends on where you start the clock. If you start the clock on when you get into your EV that's in your driveway and drive it, at the point of use, they produce no emissions from the tailpipe. Now, like every other car, there's emissions coming from the tires wearing away and, you know, rubber particulates and all sorts of things going into the atmosphere. But in terms of emissions, there's no exhaust pipe coming out of that car. So for city use and urban use, they are absolutely fantastic. And Jen, they are simply phenomenal to drive. They are so easy to drive. They're so quiet. They've got really instant acceleration because an electric motor literally doesn't have to be revved. You know, the way you used to have to get the engine screaming under the bonnet to get the car to get up a bit of speed or to do an overtake. In an electric motor, an electric car is basically a spin cycle on a washing machine. It's an electric motor which has very few moving parts and it turns the wheels in a very, very simple way. Where the costs to the environment come in is, well, they have to be powered by rechargeable batteries. So if you've got about 4,000 smartphone batteries in an EV, you know, that's a substantial amount of resources that have to be found. And you've got lithium, you've got cobalt, you've got all of these precious metals and resources which have to be mined and found, and how they're done and whether it's done ethically and so on and so forth. That's an issue for people. So in some ways, the greenest thing to do is not drive your car. The next thing, greenest thing you can do is that if you have a car, maintain it, keep it in good condition and just drive it till it ultimately expires.
Okay.
If you need to buy a new car, there is going to be a cost because that still has to be manufactured. But when you use it and at the point of use, they're absolutely fantastic to use. The only downside is, Jen, you can't go and get a can of electricity when you run out of electricity. There aren't charge points that you can rely on throughout the country. We have a good network, but if everybody takes up and hops into their EV, you'll find queues as long as your arm at fast chargers and so on. You'll find yourself frustrated. You have to commit to an EV purchase at the moment and become a little bit of an EV nerd, not a full on anorak. You know, I'm going to tell you about the torque that my wheel is putting out on each corner. You have to make a commitment to it and be prepared for, you know, waits and at filling stations where you might have to spend 40 minutes topping up a charge to get yourself home on a rainy night in midwinter. So there is stuff we have to learn. It's not absolutely seamless yet, EV ownership. Okay. And until it is, most people won't find it's the right choice for them. But a huge amount of people are absolutely loving the experience. And I'm sure you'll have many of them phoning in.
Yeah, we get a lot of them, but a lot of texts coming in saying, oh, I live in the city. And it seems to be if you are just driving around the city or urban and you're not doing these long commutes or whatever, it's probably more ideal for you, right? But for example,
perfect.
If you're driving
yeah.
from Dublin to Clare, you know, twice a week or three times a week, this might not be the best option.
Yeah, well, it can be. If you've got a home charger, which is essential for anybody getting an EV. Now, the trouble is they're not freely available in apartment blocks yet, but there's moves to try and make the whole planning process and access to charging more readily available and even putting charging points into lampposts and stuff. You can see that around Dublin as well. But if you have a charger in say, if your home is in lovely Clare and you're driving to Dublin and wherever you're going to, whether it's your place of work or whatever, if they've got a charger, most modern EVs will easily do that run and you can have the heater on, the radio on and all the rest. But the trouble is it's making sure that you can control the controllables because nobody hops into their diesel or petrol car and says, oh, I wonder where I'll be able to get fuel today. Whereas you still have to do that a bit in your EV. But if you have a charger in your workplace and a charger at home, happy days. You are absolutely laughing and you love the experience.
Yeah, you've said that a few times, the experience to drive it. And that's what I hear a lot, that everybody loves the drive because it's quiet, it's smooth, which is a huge selling point. But the majority of people who are looking into electric cars now, I suppose I had Simon on earlier saying the phone is off the hook at the moment just because of fuel prices. But if people, you touched on it there, but if people just want to do better with what they have and, you know, electric is not an option, what can they do? What advice have you got for them to make it a better and cheaper experience, I suppose?
And it's so true, Jen, because the vast majority of people don't have access to that spare cash needed because an EV is roughly about 6 or 7 grand at best dearer than the petrol equivalent of the, you know, of the same car. And it can be even, you know, 10 grand, even more than that. And that's including the EV being subsidized already by grants. So the manufacturers are doing what they can to bring price parity in. And it's coming. It is coming in a few years. It would be as cheap and then cheaper to make electric cars than it is to make internal combustion engines that meet the emission standards, because the standards are getting stricter all the time. So costs of making engines into cars and putting them into cars is going up, up, up. And the EV cost is coming down, 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 much like the old, you know, when you bought a computer, as soon as you bought it, you felt it was out of date because all the time technology is jumping forward. But the reality is, you know, finding, you know, 25 grand or 30 grand will get you into, a small but good EV, but that's a lot of money. So the car you have, the banger in your drive, the car that you run and owes you nothing, it's really well worth just minding that and, you know, putting good tires on it, making sure it's serviced so that the engine is as efficient as it can be, and then driving with a little bit more anticipation. So remember that every time you get in your car to move, you're pressing on a tap, which is opening up fuel and pouring it away. Okay, so that's going into the engine. So every time then you jump on your brakes, you've got to go through the process again. So you are controlling that flow of fuel that you're using. So if you can anticipate things, use all of the acceleration lane and drive, you know, just drive nice and steadily. Don't like lash up to traffic lights because lights are only going to do one thing. They're going to change. Just drive a bit consistently and plan to take it handy on the road, to use that Irish phrase. Use the left lane a lot. Don't get in people's way. Go as slowly as you want, but in the left lane, out of harm's way. That's really the best thing you can do in the short term to ease the pain. Because again, we're so reliant on cars in Ireland. You go outside the city, there's absolutely abysmal public transport. And until we get that sorted, people won't be able to jump onto it, which we'd all love to do. But we have to have our cars with us. And to keep them maintained is the best way you can do your bit.
Yeah. What about hybrid then? Just got a text in. Just talking about the difference between a fully electric and a hybrid.
Okay, so fully electric is run by a big chunk of battery pack, which is usually found underneath the floor. You'll never see it. You know, there's no bonnet you lift and say, ah, would you look at my batteries? So even if a nerd comes over and says, show us the engine, if you lift your bonnet, you might see an electric motor somewhere, but you won't even recognize. They're alien, and nobody lifts the bonnet on a car these days anyway, which is remarkable. But electric cars need a battery. They run purely on electricity. That battery has to be recharged, much like a phone. There's a home charger, which can charge it at a sort of a trickle rate. Then there's slow chargers, which are more frequent around the place, that they do it a little bit quicker. And then there's fast chargers, which you pay a little bit more for the electricity coming out of them, but they'll get electricity in at a quicker rate again. So you've to pay for your electricity. So electricity runs your car. A hybrid is a mixture of a petrol or a diesel engine, mostly petrol, that also uses an electric motor and has a smaller battery pack than an EV would have. So maybe a quarter the size of your average electric car. That's the battery that's inside a full hybrid. So the hybrid will use that electric motor and that battery pack to run the car, to help turn the wheels, and it will have the ability to run in zero emissions mode, producing no emissions out the tailpipe for a number of kilometres, a small number of kilometres. But where they're really kind of at their best is when they're in stop-start traffic, because that little bit of trickling and moving along will be done usually using the electrical part of the car. Hybrids were a way of making petrol cars as economical and as low emitting as diesels, because believe it or not, diesels have very low CO2 emissions, much lower than petrol engines, and they are quite clean. But a full hybrid, and also remember, a hybrid is automatic. You'll hear a phrase, mild hybrid, and to be honest, that's just nonsense. It's just a little bit of extra electrical bits chucked in to help reduce the fuel economy of a petrol or a diesel car.
Okay.
So ignore mild hybrid as a thing to be proud of. Hybrid is good. And then there's also plug-in hybrid gen, where you have a slightly larger battery again, and you can plug that one in and charge that battery up externally. And that is a good way of mixing your sort of your school run, your short hops around town, where you can do them all as an electric car. And then for a longer run, you'll have an engine which will kick in and get you all the way without having to stop and have another muffin and add another 5 kilos to your body weight.
Lovely. What about the...
I'm not speaking from experience. No.
We love them. What about things like the talk of the ban on diesel cars in EU cities by 2025? Now, you just said they're lower on emissions, but so why do they want to ban them?
Now, they're lower on emissions when they're running. Okay, so the ideal thing, if you have a diesel, if you do high mileage in Ireland, everybody knows diesel actually works really, really well. The trouble is when you come into a city and you're stop-starting in traffic and there's lots of traffic lights and there's various issues and lots of interactions between other road users, vulnerable road users like cyclists and pedestrians and so on. There's a lot of stop-starting, so there's a lot of time where exhaust emissions are just coming out and floating around in the air. So car companies now have developed systems where you can geo-lock cities, so that the car will know whether it's in an area which is low emitting. So I've driven plug-in hybrids and hybrids that will have a system that will switch to electricity only when it's in a certain area. So ultimately, we want to keep our cities and towns smog free and have the air healthy for everybody. Well, ultimately, everywhere we want to have the air healthy for everybody. But in cities, we will see that in the future. So there will be more of these low emission zones and zero emission zones where you'll only be allowed into that area if you're in an EV. And they're sometimes called BEVs as well. It's funny, we've got to learn all these initials. BEV means battery electric vehicle. And then PHEV is plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. So the EV, electric vehicle, that saves your having to say electric cars, Jen. Just say EV.
EV, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, EV is perfectly acceptable. So in years to come, we will all be massively incentivized to have zero emission vehicles if we want to get in and around urban areas. And that's where they're at their best. An EV in an urban environment is brilliant, because when it's not moving, it's only using a trickle of electricity from its normal 12 volt battery, which every car has. But it's not using any other energy. So they're so efficient, and you can take such pride in having an EV and consuming as little energy as possible and making sure that it's sourced, you know, in the greenest way possible. So when Eamon Ryan manages to get, you know, all of the promised wind energy up and going, we'll be in a perfect place in Ireland to have an ideal situation for EVs, because we'll have green electricity. And our island is small enough that we'll be able to get everywhere we need to be, you know, on a single charge without any problems, because the next generation of EVs all have the range. So we'll have no more range anxiety, and we'll have a plentiful green charging that we'll be able to do. But that's down the line, Jen.
Yeah, you keep talking about that, the future. You keep saying like we're there. We're not there yet. Not there yet. It seems like we should wait or do a lot of research if we are going to go EV.
Again, Jen, a lot of people have committed and have gone green and gone fully EV and zero emissions, and they're having the time of their lives. But it's a thing which requires a commitment to it. It requires a lot of research. It requires money to finance and get that vehicle in the first place, because of that price gap between a petrol or diesel and a new car. And for many people, Ireland is still a place where, oh, you have a new car notions. You know, the new car thing isn't as rampant as it was. Remember, at the turn of the century, we had over 200,000 new cars registered. Our market has collapsed. So it really is tiny, and people have a lot more other things to be doing, with any cash that's coming into their home than splashing out in a new car, even with all of the tempting finance things and so on. But to be honest, you know, it's a case of, if you want an EV and if you've seen one and you have your heart on it and you can afford it, go for it. If there's one in a dealership and it's there now, you know, bite their arm off if you're looking for it, because the supply of new ones, if you went in and said, I want a Cherise Pink ID4, you know, you could be waiting for, you know, 6, 8, 9 months before that car would arrive in the country, you know, because of the delays again in production. And even all new cars, with the terrible situation in Ukraine, so many manufacturing plants who make parts or little components for cars have literally shut down. And Russia, all the car plants shutting down there as well, making various components and things. We really are going to be goosed for a while for new vehicles, because finding all of the bits that go into making a new car is becoming harder and harder with the terrible crisis we're in Ukraine as well. So it really is a perfect storm at the moment.
So look after what you have at the moment. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Michael Sheridan, motoring journalist, for explaining all of that and giving us a lot to think about.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.